It's 28 minutes to 9 o'clock, and Gavin Steinherbel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is in the house. Regularly on a Wednesday, we get a chance to talk about matters of importance. And Gavin, welcome. Nice to see you
again. Yeah, good to be back. Sorry, I missed last week. I do miss speaking to you on a Wednesday. So.
Well, you are living your best life. I mean, you're up and down the country like crazy.
I've got a son home from varsity, so we're trying to make the best of the time we have with him. So we try to do a lot of things while he's here.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And since we last spoke, the world has changed. Certainly South Africa has changed. And the latest revelations from across the pond in the US that have obviously had major repercussions, or are about to, are sending ripples through trade and industry in South Africa like nothing has done for an awfully long time. In fact, I'm reading lots and lots of posts, because this is where people tend to vent, some of them sublime, some of them ridiculous, but many of them on point, calling out what is happening in government circles now as tantamount to treason, because they say the country is being prejudiced to the point of almost no return. Now, the tariff bomb that has exploded from America, which effectively imposes not 30% tariff on South African exports, but because we are a BRICS-aligned country, they add an extra 10% for good measure, taking it to a 40% punitive tariff, and our beloved president looks at it and says, they've got it wrong. They've calculated wrong. That is definitely going to change.
I mean, he's had his head in the sand. Look, a couple of things to be said. One is that this has been coming from January. It was totally avoidable.
Well, the conditions...
was totally, totally avoidable. We did... Al Durko and the ANC, who's in charge of foreign affairs, that's the one ministerial sort of branch that they would not give anybody a deputyship in. They wanted complete control of foreign affairs. And they have completely, completely sabotaged our relationship with the United States. And one can't think to what good. I mean, what possible interest is there for the average South African in destroying that relationship? And we've done our utmost to do it, and it just makes no sense. You know, I often think that if the South African government evaporated tomorrow and was nowhere to be found, that the average citizen in South Africa's life would immediately start improving on that day. It just seems as if they are completely antithetical to what this country needs.
Well, it seems like this latest move, the tariffs, have followed months of what they call unambiguous warnings. The U.S. government presented its concerns, tabled conditions, and allowed space for renegotiation. And I think that's fair enough.
Correct.
And Ramaphosa and his team went across to renegotiate. And they made no concessions, not one. And the tariffs have effectively wiped out the AGOA benefits. That's the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act benefits that previously allowed duty-free exports, especially in sectors like agriculture and automotive manufacturing. Now, the impact of these tariffs has wiped out AGOA, the automotive industry, which alone employs over 300,000 workers, is reeling, and it's just the beginning. And apparently, the conditions that they were talking about, which were in the diplomatic exchange confirmed by the White House and detailed by South African delegates, the public and unequivocal condemnation of "Kill the Boer" chant.
None of these things are hard to do.
Would that have hurt them? No. A formal acknowledgement of farm murders and rural racial violence. Would that have hurt to acknowledge that?
No.
The scrapping of expropriation without compensation legislation is reasonable.
Just to interrupt you, just to go back to the rural situation, and that a task team be put together to investigate these farm murders and to do something about it. I mean, that's just something that they should be doing anyway. They shouldn't be forced to do it. And then, as you say, you know, get rid of expropriation without compensation. No modern country needs that, and no modern country has that. And then lastly, just exempt the U.S. companies from BEE. I mean, why should a foreign company be subject to BEE? They're not apartheid-era companies. They have nothing to do with apartheid. And all trade is good. And if they're coming to trade with South Africa, then fantastic. We should trade with them and take the benefits of that. So none of those four things that the U.S. asked us to do are difficult to do, or even immoral, or we're not being pushed into a corner, we're not being asked to do anything that shouldn't ordinarily be done in any event. So you just have to wonder why they doubled down on these things. First of all, that wasn't disclosed through our mainstream media at the time, that those were the conditions that the Americans had laid down. It was discovered by the delegation that went over subsequently, that was Connie Mulder and them. They discovered, if those were the conditions, they're not hard to meet, and they came back, and then it was disclosed, and South Africans realized there's actually not a problem other than the ANC here. So, yeah, it's just bizarre. And, you know, I always say if somebody's not doing what's obviously the right thing to do and the logical thing to do, then obviously they must be incentivized in another way. And we all know what that is, you know. And we all know how easy, and how corrupt the ANC is. Just have a look at this latest thing with our Commissioner of Police for KZN, you know, calling out the minister. Saying, you know, you're involved here with gangsters, and you know.
Now, isn't that absolutely unprecedented in the history of South Africa? I can't recall a situation like this.
I know that hasn't been ventilated properly, and that, you know, at the moment all we've got is allegations. But I can tell you now that to me, it's very logical that somebody who's got a team that have been very effective in investigating political murders, that have brought quite a number of people and perpetrators to book, when they suddenly get told, send your dockets up and nothing further is going to happen. I mean, if you take some pride in your work and then you get scuppered like that, I'm sure you get frustrated. And that's what this guy, he struck me as a sort of chap who's been scuppered, and he's unhappy because they were doing a good job and they were proud of what they were doing. So, you know, if he's correct, then he's definitely a public hero and the sort of person that we do need in the state and government.
What worries me is the lack of urgency with which this is being dealt with at presidential level.
Oh, no, the ANC just kicks for touch the whole time. They never address anything. I mean, you know, just think, I can't remember how many years ago the Zondo Commission was now, but nothing's ever come from it. You know, they never address anything. They never, you know, when you're all corrupt, nobody can point fingers because, you know, you have your own problems.
But what this has done is I've seen a tremendous welding together of disparate factions from across society. Only this morning there was an announcement that KZN farmers are now uniting behind Mkhwanazi, and sort of issuing a directive that if anything was to happen to this man, they would be held to pay from that sector. On the radical Looney Tunes far into left. The distance left, they're all saying the same thing. Yeah. So you've got pretty much, I'm not going to say the far right and the far left, but and centrist South Africa, many, many calls from all sorts of regions coming together in common cause to support a man who seems to be, well, he seems to be going out to bat for justice.
I think everyone can see that it took an enormous amount of bravery to stand up there and do what he did.
What amazes me, though.
So, yeah, that's true. What we are seeing, I think, is as Yeats wrote in his 1916 poem, the center cannot hold, and the reason that it can't hold is it's predicated on corruption and incompetence, and that just can't stand. And so we are seeing change. People are frustrated. We can see the bad results of what's happening. The period of making allowances is far behind us because we realize what we've lost in 30 years.
But does the electorate, the general electorate, realize?
I think so.
Because if that is the case, then there is massive change coming.
Well, I think everybody is paying some sort of attention to the story as it unfolds, and it's clear to most people that, you know, it's not working. It's not working. It's corrupt. From within, you know, people are fighting with each other. You know, you can't have people within the SAPS that are fighting each other when they should be fighting crime. Mm. You know, so something's coming. Something's got to change. And I think this country is about to change in a remarkable way, hopefully for the positive and not for the negative.
Well, I don't think it can get. I really don't think it can get any worse.
No,
I,
it can't.
I don't think so. Crime is out of control. The economy is tanking.
BEE has been a source of massive corruption. It's as that study showed, it's benefited less than 100 people and made them obscenely wealthy at the expense of our economy. And that is not right, and that is not fair, and I mean, that has to change.
You've got a situation where you've got a country in full-scale war with Russia, the Ukraine. Mm. Their growth, annual growth, economically, is 2 to 3%.
Exceeds ours.
By a long shot.
It's triple ours.
And we've got so much going for us in this country.
I know, and we've got so many people who want to get things going, and we've got so many people with talent and... You know, we do wonderful things as a country. We always, box above our weight division when it comes to sport or ingenuity or agriculture or, you know, these are all things
even
we do.
Even in the minor league, you see the world netball, schools netball champions are from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Wonderful.
Just announced on the news this morning. And we have just been chatting to Colin Mandel, just come back from the World Line Dancing Championship. South Africa cleaned up in the gold medal.
Yeah.
And many of them from Belize, and world championships. So it's not only the massive sports, the big ones, it's the little things as well. And I was thinking to myself, South Africa, who cares about that? South Africa is huge in terms of what we produced and presented to the world. If you just in recent history, one of the biggest developments in medical technology was the heart transplant. Where did it come from?
Yeah,
South Africa.
Of course. Many things. If you just think when we sent that delegation to go and meet Donald Trump, and suddenly you had, five or six worldwide recognizable figures from South Africa in that same room.
Yeah.
You had those golfers, you had Elon Musk. These are all amazing South Africans. I was just thinking, if you'd had a delegation from Zimbabwe, you couldn't pop a single person up there that everybody would know worldwide. Or from Botswana, or from Zambia, or from Malawi, or from...
Other African country.
Yeah.
Any other.
Yes,
African
exactly.
Country.
So,
it's a massive continent.
Yeah, this country is amazing. We just need to get certain people off our backs.
Ah, well, that's a good point to pause. We'll let that sink in. Let that massage and ferment.
I think the message is out there, and I think change is coming, Dave. I've been saying it all year.
I look forward to that. So Gavin Steinhoebel, our attorney at law. We'll be back in a week's time with more hard talk and discussion. And if you need an attorney in the interim, go and have a chat to Gavin at Kloppers down in the Belita village. You will be surprised at how effective and efficient they are. Thanks, Gavin. We'll catch up in a week's time.
Thank you, Dave.